I am University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. This is willag.org. Let's take a look at the numbers from the CME Group this afternoon in Chicago. Futures finished up like this. The September corn was down 4 cents. Our wheat was down 4 cents at 649 and a quarter. December there at 660 and three quarters was 3 1/4 cents lower. September corn futures 12 and a quarter lower at 496. December at 478 and three quarters down a penny and a half. And the March at 499 and a quarter down 1 1/2 cents. Next year's December contract at 510 and a quarter, a penny and a quarter lower. August beans at 1355 and a quarter. We're down 37 and a quarter. September at 1266 and three quarters, down 35. And November beans at 1224, 32 and three quarters lower. January at 1229, down 32. And the March contract at 1230, down 29 and three quarters. May futures at 1226, down 28 and a half. Bean meal futures at 447.80, $20 lower. Bean oil at 43.81, down 45 cents. Live cattle futures finished up at 121.65 in the August, 7.5 cents higher the October, though. Down 17 and a half at 125.50. August feeders at 152.35. We're down 67 and a half cents. And lean hogs on the day at $98.57, down 35 cents for the day. So let's talk about the marketplace. It was an ugly day again in Chicago. Things that I suppose you weren't expecting over the last week or so. What happened and how did it proceed today?
Well, the chart picture on this stuff is, especially beans, it just really got tore up. I mean, if you look at a lead futures contract, we were at calendar year highs here the first part of July, and now we are at calendar year lows on the last week of July. So we've got a humongous, you know, outside year in a way going for us to finish out the month of July. Now, it was several things that probably made the whole soybean thing collapse. Number one, the trade was heavily long the August contracts, whether it was August soybeans, August soybean meal, and then they were short some of the distance. Cash basis levels were way above the delivery level, worried about whether or not processors would be able to get enough inventory to crush to meet their export demand commitment number. But in that same way with corn, corn kind of went through it with July, but we were still kind of somewhat tight on corn. But farmers over the past couple weeks or so have been dribbling out little supplies. I think everybody's gambling beans and gambling corn and everything begin to kind of come out. And all of a sudden, the commercial grain trade begin to say, you know, golly, we got a lot of corn around. You know, we've bought a lot of beans around. And I think that gave the trade a comfort level that all of a sudden the cash inventory situation looked a whole lot better than what it did 2-3 weeks ago. And many now kind of feel that, especially on corn, that we've got enough corn inventory to make it through the rest of the marketing year. Now, there's probably going to be some isolated areas that might not have the inventory. But when you combine the increased farmer selling that the commercials have seen over the past 2-3 weeks, and then you combine it with the start of the southern corn harvest in Mississippi and Arkansas, there's upwards of 200 and some barges sitting down in that lower mid-Mississippi River area to fill up with corn and move north. So it kind of looks, you know, from a corn point of view, and we've seen the basis crack and all that, that we've got enough inventory. Soybeans, that's debatable. We have heard rumors that maybe some China beans are working their way into the country to kind of help ease that situation. So one thing just led to the other. The other thing probably that, you know, kind of pulled the trigger also is a week ago we were in the mid-90s, the upper 90s, and all of a sudden we come in here Monday morning and the weather forecast is cool, if not downright chilly for late July. And that gave a comfort level to the trade that the corn tasseling here over the next week or two will be able to tassel, at least under less stressful conditions compared to what it was a week ago, Todd.
You know, earlier in this conversation, you said outside for the year. That's a big one, I would suppose. At this point, we got a lot of year left. I know what your druthers are.
Well, it's outside the range that we've had. We're halfway through. I guess we're a little bit more since we're in July. But we put 1 month's worth of the whole year's worth of price action in 1 month so far. Well, my guess is anytime you have these kind of declines, people get hurt if you're on the wrong side of the position. That, you know, forces long liquidation. It forces a lot of losses. And it takes a while for the market to kind of stabilize from those kind of wild price swings. Now, probably my guess is corn is getting close to stabilizing. But one thing that you're going to notice in corn, and you see that today, is September corn's down 12 and like these corn's only down penny and a half.
Right.
What we're going to do is going to try to go into full carry. So what we're going to do, if the trade is correct and they have enough cash inventory to go through the next 60 days or so, is September corn's likely to go underneath the December corn, and you can already see that December corn is underneath the March corn. So you're going to go into a carry market. Now, that's going to be somewhat the way that they're going to try to work the bean market. And you can see, but now today, everything, well, I guess August was only down 37, but you're going to see the front months weaken more than the back end months, so you kind of go into a carrying charge. Now, the beans are probably got a little tighter fundamental picture. I mean, the corn, the trade is kind of convinced that you need a yield under 150 to stop building stocks. And you've got people talking about a national average yield anywhere between 147 and 160. So I guess we got a lot of talking about to do between now and harvest. But soybeans, I don't think the trade is very comfortable with the 44.5 bushel bean yield. And there's more talk, unless August is absolutely perfect and we get some hurricanes down here in the Gulf that throw some good moisture up into the Midwest, that 44.5 looks rich. The number may be closer to 42.5 or 43, and that really changes the balance picture on beans. So the bean thing is most of the weakness has been all of this August, and then that has just kind of cascade downward into the new crop months. But that's probably maybe it might take until early next week to get that one kind of cleaned up. But I think both markets will probably have some kind of short-term low in place, you know, by the early part of next week. Then we're ripe for some kind of short-covering rally, and then we twiddle our thumbs around trading private crop estimates. We'll have FC Stone, and we'll have Informa Economics and a few other bigger ones, and then the trade will start sizing it up. But this is somewhat common that the last week of July is kind of give-up week, and I think this is what we're seeing, give-up. Farmers that do have any inventory are just peeling them out. And so this is somewhat seasonal, and now we kind of go sideways once you get a July low in or late July low in or early August low, and then we see what the crop report is. Then we got a long ways to go yet before we really get the combines rolling in the northern areas. But At least in the short run, I think we're getting close to trying to find a point where we're going to try to stabilize. And then once you do that, then you start looking for recovery opportunities.
Dan, it's seasonal, but it seems to me that it's about 3 weeks early given where the new crop is in maturity.
That is true, and I think that's where I think there's a decent shot at some kind of August-September rally, because the trade is wanting to, you know, have this crop sealed, signed, sealed, and delivered here, and we're not there yet. We need, now, there is no doubt about it, this cooler temperatures has really allowed the corn in many areas to tassel under less stressful conditions, but we need some good rains in August to fill out that kernel. We need some good rains to get the beans to fill out. So the trade could very well be getting too anxious on trying to put a big number on this crop. But the forecasts, what I read, and I guess I'll listen to your weather guy, looks like there's couple chances of rain yet this week, and then there's maybe a couple chances down the road. So the 10-day maps or 14-day maps at least indicate at least mild weather with chances of rain in them. But when you get into August, and it's kind of like what we saw here in July, is you don't get big frontal systems. You get more popcorn-type showers and that kind of stuff around unless you get a big hurricane. And I think the hurricane that's kind of developing out in the Atlantic now, I think all the guidance models, at least right now, are going to take it along the East Coast. So, but we got a long ways to go yet.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. You can always listen to him again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. We post everything up there not long after it airs on our radio stations.